off this new series today on Advent. So I did not grow up in a tradition that celebrated Advent in this way, in terms of having kind of a weekly focus or even a daily focus leading up to the Christmas holiday. But over the last few years, I've been part of churches who do, and so I'm really thankful for that. So Advent is really a word that comes from a Latin word meaning anticipation or waiting. I know that we're all so good at waiting, right? I am kind of terrible at waiting. Like I often will stand next to the microwave because I think 30 seconds is just too long. You know, I'm like, well, why can't 30 seconds go faster than 30 seconds, right? And so I don't know about you, but I think some of us, we struggle with waiting. But really in this, as we move into the Christmas season, Christmas holiday, and we look towards Christmas, and everything is just fast-paced and charge ahead, and we're racing to, you know, December 25th, and it's kind of crazy. But really, I think this Advent, what Advent does is it calls us to wait. And so we, on the one hand, we remember Christ's coming, his physical coming. We remember his spiritual coming into our hearts, and we anticipate his second coming, right? The day that he will return and this whole thing will be wrapped up. And so that's really what we're looking at. We don't really know when Advent began. There's the church history, the calendar is a little bit fuzzy. It's like a 150-year kind of guess of when Advent actually began, but probably somewhere between 300 and 500 AD. And so it really kind of sprung up at a time when there was, so Christmas on the December 25th, that time in the Northern Hemisphere was one of the darkest days. It was the darkest day of the year. And so it was like a celebration of light coming and kind of triumphing over darkness. So that was already in people's minds. And that's in some ways how we developed when Jesus was born. We picked the darkest day of the year. And I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. Let's celebrate it at that time. There's a lot of other qualifiers to that. But there's, you know, Jesus was not born on December 25th. But that season was really a time when light triumphed over darkness, right? And so that's kind of how when we're thinking about Advent, that's sort of how it originated. And then different churches, Eastern and Western traditions and church, celebrated it differently over the years. Had a lot to do with fasting, which I find very amusing, because of the Christmas holiday is like we do the opposite of fasting. You know, during Advent is like, I'm going to eat as much food as humanly possible to celebrate Christ's coming. It's kind of tied into penance and everything else, but we're not going to get into all that. But there's just a lot of history there. But this morning, what I would like for us to do is to think about light and hope. Everyone say light and hope. Hope, all right? That's what we're going to be focusing on, all right? And so hope is a funny word in English, isn't it? We hope for lots of different things, right? You know, on the one hand, we can hope for Christ's return. We can have the living hope, right, of Jesus. But then we have funny things like I hope. For example, I'm at an intersection. It's taking a little bit longer than you anticipated. And you say things to yourself like, I hope this light turns green. Well, based upon all the other times that you've been at intersections, it's very likely, right? It's very likely that light will turn green at some point. I mean, there's some malfunctions every once in a while, but not very often, right? When I was, I'm kind of, you know, Amos will say things like, man, I hope we get to eat at my favorite fast food restaurant or whatever, right? And that is sometimes a slim hope and sometimes a very real hope, depending on mom and dad's patience, right? If I don't want to mess with him, it's a very real hope that he's going to be able to eat there, right? And so we have these funny things about hope. When I was in Nepal, this was probably a real hope. I would hope that they would have enough pepperonis to put on the pizza at the pizza place. And that was a real I don't know if that was a false hope or a real hope, but it was a longing deep within my soul. And sometimes that happened, but most of the times it did not, and I had a cheese pizza. So anyways, we're hoping, but the hope that we're talking about today is not like that. We're talking about a living hope, right? A hope that can be trusted, a hope that when we think about it, and we anticipate that it will happen. That's the kind of hope that we are talking about. So we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9, right? So just to set this up a little bit, if you think about Israel, so we know we've been talking about this quite a bit, but Israel, this nation that God chose to be a blessing to all the nations. If you don't remember anything about Israel, I want you to remember that. Right? God chose Israel to be a blessing to all of the nations and to be his representative on the earth to reflect who God was. And at this time in history, this is about 700 years before Christ came to the earth. They weren't exactly doing that. They weren't exactly reflecting the Lord. In fact, they were going the other way. They were doing evil, quite evil things in the sight of the Lord. And God raised up these messengers that he called that we know as prophets, to kind of warn Israel that, hey, there's judgment coming, right? There's things that are going to happen because of your disobedience. And they were warned over and over and over again. And Isaiah was one of the prophets who did this, again, 700 years before Christ came. And at this time in history, the Israelites, as judgment for them not obeying the Lord, they get thrown into captivity. They have a refugee crisis, if you will. They're uprooted. They're taken from their homeland and they're thrown into a different place by some people called the Assyrians. Everybody say Assyrians. All right, just making sure we're still here. All right, so these Assyrians, which is really ironic, Assyria is an even more evil place, a more evil country, a more evil, or at least they're making more evil decisions and with the practices and things than Israel was. And so in God's economy, I'm not really sure how the math is done there, but he uses Assyria to take these Israelites into captivity, so they're now living under Assyrian rule. There's women being taken captivity. They're in another land. There's a different language. There's all of these things happening. And Isaiah, he comes and speaks these words in verse 6 of chapter 9. And he says these words, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his kingdom, there will be no end. And he will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever." This is the word of the Lord from the prophet Isaiah. So he spoke these words to, again, into the midst of this situation where war is the common day. It is a common theme of people's lives. Assyria, if you can envision kind of like World War II-ish kind of things happening. So you've got this tyranny of Assyria, who is just gobbling up nation after nation after nation, and Israel is one of them. And all of a sudden, this prophet Isaiah is raised up, and he gives this message of hope in the midst of such despair, right? And he says that there's this one who will be born, and he will be a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So I want us to focus on those four names, if we could, this morning. So, Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. So I'm going to do a little bit of picking on the English language again and again this morning, because in English, some of our words just don't quite catch what these words actually mean in the original language. So we did that with hope already. I hope for pizza versus I hope that you know, Jesus is the hope of the world. That's a little different, right? And so in this next one, wonderful counselor. So first of all, counselor in this term would be more like a ruler, not so much in the therapeutic, I'm going into the counseling office sort of counselor, but he is the ruler, right? He is the king. And then wonderful, wonderful, again, it's a different word in English, you know, oh, you have a wonderful smile. Okay. You have a, you know, this is a wonderful home. We say, we just use this word pretty loosely, right? He is a wonderful person. What does that mean? Sometimes wonderful person can mean that he's a little bit better, or she is a little bit better than average, right? I mean, it's a loose term in English. But in the original language here, it's more like saying he is a wonder counselor, meaning that he is a counselor or a ruler who astounds the mind, who astounds the thinking. It's incomprehensible. He is an amazing wonder counselor. You have a wonderful smile. It's a little bit different, right? So he is a wonder counselor. So when this word of the Lord from Isaiah comes, it says he will be a wonder counselor. Anyway, I have like the theme music of Wonder Woman in my head at the moment. But I did not, when I studied, I did not have that song come in my mind until this very moment. But anyway, he will be a wonder counselor. And so I don't know about you, but when I look at our world and when I look at our situations, man, we are in desperate need of a ruler, of a counselor who does astound the mind, who does astound the thinking. We look at the politicians of our day, you know, on every side of the aisle, and promise after promise after promise after promise, and fail after failure after failure after failure. But in God's kingdom, it's not like that. We have a wonder counselor, a one who astounds the thinking. All right, so we have this wonderful counselor, and then it says Mighty God, right? His name will be called Mighty God. So just to remember wonder counselor, let's do this. Okay, so for wonderful counselor, all right, we're going to be like, we're going to do our hands like this, like wonderful, okay? Can you do that? And I need another hand or something with this microphone. A wonderful, and then counselor will be like, we'll put our hands on our head for those of you listening, like you're putting on a king's crown, okay? So we have a wonderful counselor. And the second one is we have, I want you to show your muscles, all right? Some of you are so strong, all right? We have a mighty God. We'll just kind of point up in the air. Okay, so if you listen on audio, I'm just kind of, you know, making a muscle. All right, so Mighty God. So I want us to get these in our head. Wonderful counselor, he's a mighty God. All right, so we have a God of strength, right? And this is who Jesus was promised to be by the prophet Isaiah, that he would be a God of strength, a God who triumphs. If you can imagine yourself again, you know, putting yourself in the situation where you're in this refugee situation, where for years all of you have known is oppression. All of you have known is this tyranny. It's like they've got their boots down on your neck and you can't escape. Right? And this is the situation that Israel was in. And then this prophet raises up and said this. It's such a paradox that a child will be born, and this child will be and become a wonderful counselor, and this child, what a paradox, will be a mighty God. And that is the promise, that is the hope that Isaiah gives to his people. So if you can imagine yourself being in this situation, longing for something, anything to deliver you, and this promise that a mighty God is coming. Some of us, we are in situations right now with family struggles, with work, with health. Maybe you know people who are in there. They do kind of feel like that boot is on their neck and they can't escape. And the promise that we have still remains, that we have a wonderful counselor, that we have a mighty God, a God who is mighty to save. He's just not like a little bit strong, right? Our God is not just a little bit, possibly, maybe he could deliver us, but he is a mighty God. sometimes I think that we, as we sing songs to the Lord and we praise the Lord, it is as if we're kind of trying to conjure ourselves up and kind of make it to be true in our lives. It doesn't matter what you feel. It's true. It doesn't matter, you know, the gusto that comes from your voice. It's true. He is a mighty God. Right? So there's this wonderful counselor, mighty God. And here we're going to go. We're going to go like this, like the Father of time, right? He's the everlasting Father. Okay, you can do that. I know, I feel like somebody should be like, whoop, whoop, or something. But anyway, but he's the everlasting Father, right? So this is a little confusing because he's a child, then he's a father. What? He's Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What do we do with that? Okay, it's not really talking about Father in the sense of Father God, but meaning this is more of a meaning of the Father of time, if you could think of it that way. Like he's the everlasting Father, meaning that he is the God of all time, right? He's the God of eternity, right? And so this, again, the paradox, this child will be born, be the Savior of the world, right? And he's going to be the everlasting Father, the one who's in control of all time. And it says later on in the passage, right, that he will rule for how long? Forever, right? That is an amazing, like, think about some of the amazing dynasties that we've seen over the years, right? China's empire and the Roman empire and all this stuff. But this king who's coming will be an everlasting Father. That is who we look to today, guys. That's who we hope for. And that's where we put our hope. We don't put our hope in, you know, in a government that is here today and gone tomorrow. Right? We don't put our hope in a job or even this life that is here today and gone tomorrow. I was talking to someone on my trip out to California who they were not really living for the Lord. And you know, I was talking to them and I knew them and things. And I could just tell how frustrated they were when they were hearing about certain people that didn't make that much money. And how disgusting that was, and how awful that was. And I'm like, man, you just don't see things the way that the Lord sees them, right? I don't think there's any problem or anything wrong with making money, but when we put our hope in that, and when that is the motivation for everything in life, there's something wrong, right? And so we have a God who is an everlasting Father, right? Who, despite anything that's going on in our lives, he remains forever. And he is the one who is true. So let's remember that. So first of all, we have a wonderful counselor. Everybody remember the action? Right, wonderful counselor. I'm just taking your word for it. Okay, wonderful counselor. All right. How about mighty God? And then everlasting Father. Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's helpful. Who was that? Was that Pam? I knew it. Wait, you know, Pam, when I said the woot woot, I almost said Pam should say woot woot. And now I wish I would have been like an actual prophet if I would have said that. Okay. Anyway, so yeah, that just seemed like your personality. Okay. So, okay, everlasting Father. And now we're going to do this, Prince of Peace. We're going to do like the baby. Okay. Prince. And let's just do peace, I guess. Okay. Prince of Peace. Although I don't know, that means a lot of things these days, right? Okay. Anyway, when I was living in Asia, Bart and Beth, you can appreciate this with your Japanese relative, but a lot of the times the Japanese would always do this peace thing every time they would take a photo for whatever reason. I don't know why. But he's going to be the Prince of Peace, right? The Prince of Peace. And so, man, if we look around at our world today, right, think about how many places where there is unrest. Think about how many wars are in our world today. There's wars that don't even make our news screen because they're in places of the world that no one really cares about, at least from the West, right? There are wars all over the world. There's strife within families. Right? There's families that, yeah, they just can't get along with each other. And there's just bickering and fighting, some for generations. Right? Jesus has promised to be the Prince of Peace. This is the prophet Isaiah, his words. And so we have this again, when we look and we hope for the Lord and we look towards, right, the Lord's coming kingdom, we can look at these, we can look at this promise from Isaiah, right, that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And it goes on to say in this passage here that his kingdom, right, his kingdom will reign forever. There will be no end to his kingdom. What a powerful image. I know I talk about this a lot with our imagination, and I don't mean to say imaginary, but I mean to say that I think sometimes we're just so small in terms of I don't know that I realize at times how great God is, right? His greatness, it goes on forever and ever and ever. It's unshakable. It's indestructible. It's incorruptible. It's amazing. And that is the God that we worship, and that's the God that we have put our hope in. Candy canes are cool. Lights are cute, and trees are great. But I don't know that that captures, the fullness of who we're talking about this Christmas. Right? As we long and we wait and we hope for this Christmas, his kingdom will have no end. He will rule over David's throne. And he will rule, and he will establish and rule with righteousness and justice. And we're living in a world that desperately, desperately needs the justice of the Lord. There's a lot of talk about justice in our world today. But I don't know that it's always rooted, or most of the time not even closely rooted, to the righteousness and justice of the Lord. But we as called out people, but we as people who are followers of Christ, we have a different lens of how we see justice and righteousness, and we can hope in that. We can hope in that. So a couple things I would like us to do. I want you to just pause here for a few seconds and think about the places in your life and the situations in your life where you feel hopeless. All right, I want you to think about some of the people that you've been talking to lately. Pick the relationship where you can talk to them for like 15, 20 seconds, and then you can just go there with all the crap in your lives, right? You can just, all right, I know you guys have those people in your lives because you're human. So I want you to think about that, those conversations, and I want you to think about some of the hopelessness that has happened recently in those conversations. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. He will be called Mighty God. He will be called the Everlasting Father. He will be called the Prince of Peace. Guys, we are coming to a God who is great. We are coming to a God who has triumphed. We are coming to a God now through the lens of the cross, who is victorious, who triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. And that is who we put our hope in. In the situations that you're thinking of in your own life and the life of your friends, we can look at our world too, and some of the unrest and the hopelessness that is there. And this Advent, may we boldly proclaim that Jesus is the living hope. He's the living hope. He's not a hope that disappoints, but he's the living hope. And so if we can imagine just afresh Jesus, high and exalted, right, who has triumphed over all of these things, the paradox of him being born as a child, but now being the triumphant king, coming back, right, coming back. All nations, all peoples gathered around the throne, worshiping him. Praise and glory, wisdom, power, and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. He's no longer a baby. He's no longer just a promise from the prophet Isaiah, but Jesus is ruler over all. And so we live in that tension of his coming kingdom, the kingdom in the age to come. And so as we wrap up here, just those four kind of words. I don't know for you, as I read over this, each time I read over this passage, it kind of, there's usually one of those names that kind of strikes me at whatever the point in I am in my life. So I want you to think about, do you need the Lord this Advent? Do you need him to be your wonderful counselor? Is that where you are in your life? You need a wonderful counselor, a wonder counselor. Right, you can do the action if you like, a wonder counselor, right? Or are you at a situation in your life, or are you at a place in your life right now that you need a mighty God? A mighty God. You need God to show us power. A mighty God, right? Or have you lost perspective? And are you so focused on this next 5 minutes that you've lost sight of the everlasting Father? Or maybe you need him to be the Prince of Peace. Things are just too crazy. Things are just too crazy in your life. And you need him to be the Prince of Peace. The crazy, cool, amazing thing is that he's all of those all at the same time. He's not, again, I can't illuminate this enough. I can't say it enough how big our God is. He's all those things at the same time. He's past, present, and future. What a God. What a God that we serve. What a God that we serve.